What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Merry Christmas, Albert.
Goodwill toward men. And women.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Underrated Podcast. We are the Undercast Company, and today we're going to be talking about a Christmas film. It's my choice. I'm not a big Christmas guy, as you can tell from the back, my United States of Halloween flag over there. But Christmas is still cool, so I had a hard time deciding on what film, so I decided to pick a film about, it's kind of a weird one. Definitely an underrated Christmas movie, but not an underrated film itself. Christmas movie, definitely, but it's about a paranoid schizophrenic, post-traumatic disorder, billionaire playboy. He dresses up as a giant bat, and he's trying to save Christmas in his city from a deformed orphan penguin man and a crazy cat lady with a lot of sexual innuendos. Yes, it's Batman Returns.
And Christopher Walken.
And Christopher Walken as well. And we are the Undercast Company. I'm Alan. And joining me is Derek McDuff.
Hey, everybody.
And Ariel Ortiz.
Hi.
And yes, it's Batman Returns from 1992, directed by Tim Burton, starring Christopher Walken himself as the Bat. No, just kidding. It's Michael Keaton, Michelle Pfeiffer, Danny DeVito. And yeah, well, I have a lot to say about it. I love Batman in general, but I want to hear what you guys got to say about it.
I start.
You go for it.
So I haven't seen this movie in a while, and watching it, and then since we watched and reviewed and talked about Batman Forever like a couple months ago, I totally understand like that how. Okay, yeah, Batman Forever did fit into like the style of these movies. I thought that I don't know if it was just like my memory of the original Batman with Michael Keaton, but I had like a feeling like, oh, they took themselves a little bit more seriously and they weren't so like in the in the realm of like over the topness, but this had some over the top moments. Like just the part that got me was if you've never seen it, we'll say that as in Batman Fashion, the villains, they get foiled, and just the penguins at the end with Oswald Copperpot, just see that much of what they do, and it's like, this is campy. It is campy. Okay. But yeah, like I definitely see now like that appeal that because just first and foremost, my Batman is Christian Bale. But rewatching this, I understand a bit more of how Michael Keaton is other people's Batmans, because yeah, there is moments where he definitely, I would give like has a very much level to his Batman and Bruce Wayne. Like they're one and the same at some times. Like he still acts like a dork as Batman as he does as Bruce Wayne, especially when it comes to Catwoman, Selina Kyle. And it just reminded me of so many like good moments that came out of it, like that are of this movie, and especially like I've always loved Michelle Pfeiffer as Selina Kyle. See her definitely as like an incredible Catwoman, but I do love like one moment where they're dancing when they find out that who each other really is. And she's just like, "Does this mean we have to fight?" And it's just it's just so cutesy, and it's definitely like an embodiment of that relationship in the comics of very much of them kind of like they really like each other and they don't want to fight, but they kind of have to. And I really wish that, like, yeah, like, it really did continue with the Burton Keaton movies, because, like, it just, I didn't know that there was a cliffhanger of Selena Kyle at the end, that they were, that there was.
Mm-hmm.
Wish that, that we had more of that. But yeah, definitely, like, this movie is definitely as much as a underrated Christmas movie, or as Die Hard is, you know, like, I definitely consider it as a Christmas movie, because it's set in Christmas, and there's, it's like, you know, the whole story is like surrounded by Christmas. It starts with the Christmas tree lighting, and then it starts with Oswald Cobblepot basically being born around Christmas time, and then
literally, and then, the first line in the movie is Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh shit,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so like you wouldn't expect it to be a Christmas movie, but it's a Christmas movie, and like, you know, there is that kind of, like, if you want to dig deep for the Christmas theme of it, is that, you know, kind of that forgiveness kind of thing, and not being a Scrooge in a way, of Oswald Cobblepot of wanting power, and then like with Selena Kyle of, like, you know, forgiveness is worth more for your soul than, you know, than all this. And yeah, you could definitely like tie it into like Christmas themes if you dig deep.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely, you know, this is a great pick for an underrated Christmas. I've always thought this is the most underrated Christmas or underrated Batman movie, because it was always my favorite as a kid. Like, you know, you have like the four original Batman movies. I used to watch them all the time, you know, like they came out when I was a kid. Like, I remember, you know, going to the theater and watching Batman and Robin. And but yeah, and I had all these on VHS, and you just used to watch them all the fucking time. And this one was always like my jam, like of all of them. And it's, which is weird, because like as a kid, you'd think you wouldn't really like this one, because it's so dark and like really fucking weird. Like, it is peak Tim Burton. And I am a person who's very critical of Tim Burton, because it feels like he kind of is one of the directors who becomes almost a self-parody, where it's like, yeah, this is the things Tim Burton's known for, and that's all he's going to do. He's going to like put his Tim Burton style on like Alice in Wonderland and like Willy Wonka, and I really don't like those movies. But like, this is like when he was kind of like early in his career, and it felt like he was doing them not because he was expected to do this stuff because he's Tim Burton, but it's because, like, yeah, Batman's a weird fucking crazy person, and so is Tim Burton, and it really works. And I think that this movie is so good because, not because of the plot, because I think it does have kind of a weak plot, that it's kind of just like Batman saves Christmas, whatever, like it doesn't really make sense if you kind of like pick it apart. But I think that this movie's plot like doesn't really have to make sense, because it is so, I guess for lack of a better word, like kind of comic book movie. And it's like interesting to watch these early Batman movies, because they're not hyper realistic. Like the Nolan ones are like, this is set in the real world. You know, the Snyder ones, and then it looks like the Matt Reeves ones are going to be good, which I enjoy. Like, that's a great take on Batman. But when something in those movies happens, like, you know, Batman lights a bat signal and gasoline on thing, and it's kind of like, well, how did he do that? And it's like, and like all the Joker's plans in the dark, like, okay, like you kind of like stop, and you're like, this doesn't make sense. Whereas you don't really do that in a movie like this, because it is just kind of like not supposed to be real. You're not really stopping and thinking about the logistics of it, because it is just like, what is this? Like, it's just kind of like comic booky and like big and like, yeah, penguins with rockets on their backs. Like, things like that are happening. So you're not like really worried about, or like, I love how they just don't explain what the fuck is going on with Selena Kyle in this movie. Like, she has, maybe she has like 9 lives. Like, did she get brought back by cats? Like, or is she just like, did she just get lucky?
Yeah, I had to believe that it was the cats, because I thought that more like the first cat basically kind of like licks her underneath her lips. But then I thought that all the cats did that, so they kind of like essentially like gave their life force. But then when watching it today, I was like, only that first cat did that. And then the rest ones just kind of like touched her. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't really know. There's a lot of really cool, fun comic book stuff like that. And like, you know, everyone's like very over the top. Like Chris Walken is like, I'm going to push you out a window, look out, you know, like we're going to get the power plant, but it's going to drain the power from the city. And like, there's all this kind of like big over the top stuff that really works in a movie like this, that would not work in a more realistic take on Batman, but like I've always loved it for that. It's got you know, like you said, he's a weird dude. Like he's a kind of weird, awkward dude. Like I love that scene. It's kind of like out of nowhere where he's like eating the soup and he's like, "Alfred, the soup is cold." Like I've always remembered that line for some reason. Where like
I was saying kind of that too.
I've always wanted to eat that soup. What kind of soup is it? It's like
it's not even gazpacho.
I don't know. It's supposed to be cold. Though. It's like I don't know.
Yeah, I get. It's not gazpacho though. I remember that, but it's like a soup that starts with an S, and I guess that's
it sounded like something.
It's another
fishy,
like
yeah.
It's another.
But I've always wanted to try that soup since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that this it really does a good job of just like showing like Batman is just like a crazy kind of like broken fucked up dude, and it does a really good job of showcasing that like. And I think, you know, the interactions between all these kind of, like, everyone in this is kind of like a fucked up character, except for, like, you know, Max Schreck, who's kind of like the normal one, but he's like a piece of shit, like, more than even, like, the Penguin is. And I love that scene, which really just highlights Batman's psychology, where he's punching the shit out of the Penguin, and he's just like, "You're just jealous, because I'm a genuine freak, and you gotta dress up like me," and Batman's just like, "Maybe." Like, it's like, yeah, like, you got it. And I think that, well, honestly, my favorite thing about this movie is something you talked about, Ariel, where it is the relationship between Batman and Catwoman / Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne, where it is just kind of like, they're these kind of two broken, fucked up people that kind of like find each other. And mm-hmm. like, it could be perfect, but it can't work out at the same time. Like, they're like, oh, like, we don't want to fight. Like, you talked about that scene where they're dancing and they have that callback to like, where they figure that's like legitimately maybe my favorite scene in a Batman movie. Like I fucking love that scene because it's like so heartbreaking and like beautiful. And you guys know me, like I picked, you know, a couple picks ago, I picked Like Crazy because I do have a tendency to like these kind of like brief encounter movies where it's like this kind of like quote unquote star-crossed romance where they have a, like a little brief encounter, but they can't be together for whatever reason, like the world is keeping them apart or whatever happens. And this is like that in like a movie about like fucked up Tim Burton superheroes. Like there's not really, like I think it does romance better than like any other, definitely any other Batman movie, definitely this one. And it highlights why Batman probably can never really, like he doesn't have a Lois Lane. He doesn't have, you know, like that iconic love interest. Selina Kyle's probably the closest thing because she's just honestly as fucked up as he is. And he even kind of talks about like how Vicky Vale, like, things didn't work out with her. And, like, that is something that they actually do directly address. And then, you know, in the next, we talk about when we did our podcast a while back on the Batman Forever podcast about, like, him and Chase Meridian. And that has its interesting stuff, but it doesn't feel like the romance in this is like, wow, these guys, it's heartbreaking. That last scene where he, like, "Alfred, stop the car," and you just see the silhouette of Catwoman.
Sure.
I think it's less of a cliffhanger and more of just kind of, like, sad, bittersweet ending.
Yeah, totally bittersweet. Like she got away
because, and like they're gonna both kind of like live these sad lives where they're, you know, it's kind of the opposite of The Dark Knight Rises where they find each other and they're happily ever after, but this one they're just kind of like they drift apart and that's it. I really loved it.
Yeah, no, it definitely captures like the, and it's definitely like captures what how their relationship is in the comics even till this day of just these like you said, star-crossed lovers, but at the same time they have a need for each other and they always somehow like flow back to each other in some way. Like I know that in recent comics, like they've at first they almost got married, they were like on their wedding. I think they have gotten married in recent history, but yeah, it's like I did like the relationship of Catwoman and Batman in the Nolan trilogy, but it didn't have as much as a spark as Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Keaton, like just within like I think like it with the, how their relationship progressed, that you could say like maybe it only had like 15 minutes of screen time in that 15 minutes of like Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle, like they just like sparked. And it's just like, this is just Michelle Pfeiffer is just incredible in this movie. She's incredible in a lot of movies. She's a really incredible actress, but Michelle Pfeiffer just brought this character story, I would argue that she's definitely like the most brought out character in this movie, and like of a character arc. I know you're saying like, for the most part, this movie seems as like a Batman animated series, like Christmas episode. But when it comes to Selina Kyle, like you get the whole arc of Catwoman and Selina Kyle within just this movie, and it's a perfect like arc that you know, like that the for just kind of like that you would expect out of a comic book.
Yeah, definitely. No, Alan, what do you like? Let's hear that you're the Batman expert here, and I would love to hear you weigh in.
Well, I'm actually going to go a little bit different, because you guys kind of already touched upon like the wonderful and great part of the film, you know, the romance between Bruce and Selina. But what I like, because, you know, I've been a Batman fan since I was fucking born. You know, Batman Returns, I watched it on repeat as a kid. I didn't watch Batman 89 as much until I got older, because Jack Nicholson scared the shit out of me. So Batman Returns was a little safer. Hilarious, ironic enough, because it's a darker one. But, you know, after I've seen all these movies over and over and over again for so long, I kind of now start kind of picking at them, because, like, I feel like I've just been with Batman my whole life all the time, that after a while you just kind of start going, I kind of want to make fun of my own guy. And just watching it, I guess what I'm trying to say is this movie's fucking hilarious, too. As much as there's, like, romance and Christmas and, like, it's dark and gothic definitely. And just Burton-esque, it's fucking hilarious. Like, in the very, very beginning, I absolutely love where, like, you know, the circus comes and they start shit all over Gotham Square during the light up of the Christmas tree. Absolute favorite hilarious scene in the whole fucking movie. My boy is literally just brooding. He's sitting in his fucking chair with all these bat signals ready to fucking aim at him with a big ass bat silhouette. And I was like, that's my favorite crazy person of all time.
Yeah.
Who the fuck sits there and goes, yes, I'm going to wait till the light fucking hits me. And he's like, oh, me, because I'm Batman. And then he rolls and saves the day. Like, there's just so much funny shit.
He literally has, that means he literally has like three lights or reflectors.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they go
right next to his house.
Yeah, it's like, okay, somebody might notice that. Like, that wouldn't work in the Nolan trilogy, but it works in this one, you know?
Exactly.
If they were just like mirrors, like reflecting off of the big bat signal, that might be passable. But this is the bat signal is is engraved in every single like reflection. It's like, okay.
And then, like, also, it just begs the question. It's like, so if somebody drove around Wayne Manor, they're going to be like, hey, why does he have, like, bat mirrors over his ceiling? Like, what the fuck is that about? Oh, it's billionaire playboy Bruce Wayne. He's crazy. You know, whatever. He does
Can
what
I
he
real
wants.
Can I real fast say what the funniest part for me was when I, like, fucking, like, started, like, busting up laughing? Is when, like, Batman, like, it's the end when it's, like, that tense moment and, like, Batman's trying to get Selina Kyle not to kill Max Strick. And he rips off the
movie
bat
magic.
Mask. He rips off the bat mask and the blue rope. And then Christopher Walken goes, Bruce Wayne, why are you dressed like Batman?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah, that too,
like, because he's Batman, you idiot. And it's like, at the same time, it's like, it's a funny line, but it's also very much a Selina Kyle line. Like, just also, like, you dumbass. No, it's a good, like, moment. Oh, my God.
To bounce back on Derek. I thought you were going to get at my favorite part, or the favorite funny part of that film. So, like you said, he's trying to get Selina to be like, hey, you know, chill the fuck out, whatever. Like, don't kill Christopher Walken or whatever. And he's just like, look at me. So, as you know, Batman doesn't have these kind of eyes right here. They paint the eyes black, like raccoon eyes. And then, so there's one scene where he's looking at her, and then he's like, okay. And raccoon eyes, and then it pans over to Selina, and he's taking off the mask, raccoon eyes are gone. You see without it. It's real fast.
Yeah. They barely started to not, like, do that on the Arrowverse. it used to be like, I, especially for the era, very, very grounded of a comic book series. I like wish that they didn't do that. And it isn't until recently, like with like recent characters where they have shown the grease paint or the, you know, the shadowing of the eyes. I'm like, yeah, show it. It's like, that's what it is and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, but no, that definitely took me out for like a second, split second, Alan, what you're talking about. Because like right before he rips it off, you just see like his eyes.
You just see like regular eyes. And yeah. Uh-huh. And you're like, it looks like a cosplay or something. Yeah. Like a really early, yeah. Like Michael Keaton. Well, you know what? Maybe that's what he thought it was. He was like, Bruce Wayne, why are you cosplaying as Batman? It's just like, oh fuck. But no, that, like, there's just so many great funny moments in the movie, you know, like when the Penguin, he's talking to Max Schreck for the first time and he's like trying to blackmail him and he's like, here's his hand or whatever. And then another great, oh, here's another great, like, kind of like, you could only do this in Batman in 89 and Batman Returns and the other ones.
Sexist, but like, joke?
Of course. Huh? Well, that's it. No, the misogynistic jokes and stuff, but
how misogynistic? No, how misogynistic a penguin who's never, you know, who's lived in the sewers the whole time could be. But yeah, go on.
That too, but he's getting fucking chased, and Batman decides, "All right, how the fuck am I gonna get out of this car chase?" Oh, there's a perfectly, you know what, like 5 foot difference of buildings apart from each other. Let me spread the fucking Batmobile in three parts and go in this weird little, like, it was the Tumblr's motor bat pod before the Dark Knight.
Yeah,
and he goes
yeah.
perfectly was, through the fucking
yeah,
alleyway.
Yeah, what are those? I think they're called stock box cards. The ones that they do races
yeah,
on.
Like soapbox cards?
Yeah, soapbox yeah. cards. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And no, just fits perfectly crazy. In the alleyway. And then the cop cars crash. And I'm like, why didn't you guys stop?
Yeah, I'm like, they crash. Like, also, like, I was thinking, like,
he
wait
killed
a minute,
a guy.
Like, how is.
I
was going
to
get to that.
He killed
too.
A guy
he
with
killed,
a bomb.
He killed, like, a bunch of people. He kills a bunch of people in this movie. He lets a guy on fire. He straps a bomb to that guy. But also, and also, like, I like how, like, the cops aren't chasing him anymore just because they hear that, like, Penguin, like, said, I played this city like the harp from hell. And they're like, well, I guess Batman must be innocent. Did you hear it? He played this city like a harp from hell. Stop
he
the
did.
Stop the police. Stop the citywide police chase. Like,
but
it works. It works. You know, you don't really think about it until you think about it.
No worries. And like, oh my God, I lost it. There was another part. Oh no, the killing. The killing thing, again, too. This is, this is why I love Batman v Superman. And that's why I like kind of hate when everybody gives shit about, like, oh, Batman killed in that movie. And I'm like, he killed, but it wasn't as graphic. Batman Returns literally, like, it's the hilarious thing. Like, he goes, oh, there's a fire breather? Back the fuck up. Let me reverse my giant black Batmobile and throw thruster fire on this fool and light him on fire and get the fuck out. And then he puts the bomb on the guy and then he throws him in a hole and explodes. And I'm just like, it's kind of like a what's his name? Jake Peralta from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, I was like, damn, that's pretty cool. Still murder.
Murder.
Still kill them.
Yeah, no, seriously. It's like, oh, shit.
And he did it with a smile on his face. Like,
fucking smiled and he's like, I'm Batman. Fuck you.
Yeah. I think watching this and then, like, recently rewatching Batman 89, like, I'm like, Michael Keaton's Batman was, like, the most, like, mentally, like,
he loved to get nuts. Another rooster in the hen house.
One more thing too, I just want to say that, like, I really appreciate about this movie is if you go back and watch a lot of, you know, movies from like the 80s, the early 90s, you know, especially superhero, like if you watch like the old Superman, Chris Reeves movies, they're great, but they feel really fucking dated. And like, even like watching original X-Men movies, holy shit, those movies are dated. This movie feels fucking timeless. And I think it's because it kind of like, it doesn't try to make itself seem like a super modern movie. It kind of does this thing where it's like a combination, it's like kind of like the 30s, but it's kind of like the 80s at the same time. And it's like, like people have like their like big hats and like trench coats and stuff like that. And it feels like it's this kind of like, yeah, it's this amalgamation of all the different time periods that from the comics where Batman has existed, and it does make it like feel like really like this could be happening whenever and at all times. Yeah. And that, I think that really helps the movie like, you know, like be very watchable to this day where you're not watching. You're like, oh, like when you watch, we watch something like, for example, like Mission Impossible 2, and they're like, we've got this cool new spy camera. And it's like, I got shit 18 times better than on my fucking phone, you know, like, and this movie really does a good job of just kind of like making it like, just like a lot of, I feel like, because it's kind of got that weird quirky fantasy Tim Burton, like timeless, like, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, Beetlejuice kind of feel. And I really appreciate that. And it makes it a Christmas movie that you can watch whenever.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I think that's what, about it, that's kind of what went on to, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say, and I think that's what also the Gotham TV show kind of captures also. It exists in that kind of like amalgamation of time.
And the animated series did it beautifully as well.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much what I think. I think it's just, it's definitely a Christmas, you wouldn't think of it, but it is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's got to go on that list of, like, you know, people are always debating, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? But this movie is one of those kind of like stealth Christmas movies that I think the kind of quote, people call them alternative Christmas films. And I think this is one that never gets mentioned in that conversation, probably because, you know, like it's part of a series. So people don't really think of it like, you know, like as a Christmas movie. I guess so is Die Hard, but it's the first one, whereas this second one, you know, and unlike, you know, Batman Forever, which kind of like for a second takes place on Halloween, it's not like that doesn't feel like a Halloween movie.
Yeah, it's just, you like, can call it a Halloween movie.
Yeah, but this one, it is really like Batman Saves Christmas, the movie, you know, almost. And it, you know, it does have those themes of like family and everything, like you were saying, and like, you know, being there for each other at the holidays. And I think that, you know, this should go into the rotation of, because I'm not a big traditional Christmas film kind of guy. I tend to, you know, veer towards more of the alternative Christmas films, like stuff like this and Die Hard. So it's definitely, I think, going to crop up in my Christmas film rotation, you know, probably every year.
I mean, definitely for me too. Like, I watch it every other year. Sometimes I'll just watch it on a whim. But yeah, that, like, I don't watch the traditional Christmas movies either. I think it was when I was a kid I did. But even then, I'd watch all, like, the, what are they called? The, like, the, oh my God, what are they called? Like, it's like Christmas in July and all those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The like claymation. Like
claymation, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. But yeah, definitely this one for me, I kind of was like, you know, when we were talking about it and we brought it up, I was like, yeah, I guess that is my Christmas movie. I mean, I guess like it's Batman. I watch all the Batman animated series Christmas episodes as well. So I feel like that's definitely in my rotation. So definitely underrated. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so.
Actually. Yeah, I think so too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Why don't you take us home, Alan?
Well, no, well, thank you everybody for listening. I hope you guys go out there and find it. This one was on HBO Max. So if you have HBO Max, I think it has all the other Batman films as well, if you want to watch them too. I think we forgot to mention. Oh no, on the last one, I think. Never mind. But yeah, anyways. So yeah, check it out. It's on HBO Max. They're all there if you want to watch them. Definitely tune in again for our other podcast if you guys want to. Go ahead and throw them out there, Ariel.
Yeah, I am. I have a podcast called You've Never Seen, where I introduce people who have never seen movies that are considered a part of pop culture or cinematic history. So the one that just came out, it should have come out, is I introduced White Christmas to these two guys. We haven't recorded it yet, but it's
coming. Yeah.
But by the time it will be out.
So I don't know how it's going to go, but yeah. It'll be out before this list. So, and then, if you guys are listening to this by this time, it won't be out yet, but coming up will be on the 15th is going to be, I talked to somebody about The Americans, which is one of my favorite shows, because I do a show called Gateway Episodes, where we watch an episode of a TV show and see if it's something you want to get into. You know, the one before that, me and Alan talked about Hannibal. Me and Ariel are going to talk about Justified pretty soon. Check out Gateway Episodes, and of course, You've Never Seen.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you so much, you guys. And yeah, thank you guys out there for listening. We appreciate it. Please, you know, drop a like, go on our socials, reach out to us. We want to hear from you guys. let us know what's your favorite underrated Christmas film or just anything in general. Like, please provide recommendations so we can go out there and check them out ourselves. And yeah, well, other than that, Merry Christmas and take it easy.
Yeah. Happy holidays, everybody.
All right. Thanks for being amazing.
It's fishy swell, sir.